2017, and the time is 8:02 a.m. We have a quorum of the Audit Committee. I now call this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. The first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on October 20th, 2017. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on October 20th, 2017?
So moved.
Lori, second?
Second.
Thank you, Vince.
I guess that's what I'm supposed to say.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. The Audit Committee review of the agency's activities. Okay, Commissioner?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner report is on page 7 of your materials. There's one item that is listed as an outstanding audit finding still in progress. This is an item from an internal audit by Garza Gonzalez and Associates on motor vehicle sales finance examinations and the review of examination reports. And we have that last item that we expect to be finalized by the end of January. So we're making progress on that. We think that'll be wrapped up shortly. Two other items I just wanted to mention for your information. We completed field work for a post-payment audit of our payroll and expenditures by the Comptroller of Public Accounts. The field work was completed in October. We still don't have, and I think I may have reported that to you at the last meeting, but they were just beginning, I think, at the last meeting, or they were in progress or something. But we do not have a draft report, and it may still be some time before we get the draft report, but we're waiting on that. But with the, you know, we believe things are okay in that area, but we're waiting on that. And then I also wanted to mention that we have a report due to the State Auditor's Office by December 31st that provides them with progress on the audit findings from their audit, whether they were fully implemented, substantially implemented, incomplete and ongoing, or not implemented. As you'll recall from the audit that we had last year, we expect that all of our findings should be either fully or substantially implemented as we report on that progress. I mean, we've reported to you here that we've implemented them all. There's one little item we're finalizing to make sure that that's actually fully complete on that little technical issue, and then I think we'll be good on that.
Okay.
That's all my report.
Department of Banking, and I see like none.
Yeah,
that's like a first, right?
Well, I wouldn't say it that way. it is reported as none. Madam Chair, I would like to tell you that the Comptroller is now with us doing a post-payment audit, as indicated earlier by Leslie Pettijohn, in their department. So they're here this week doing it. I guess we thought that maybe we would get the report by February. So it's in process.
Okay.
Yes, savings and mortgage lending is on page 9. With respect to the management information systems audit, the risk assessment has now been completed and the audit trail, establishment of audit trails, is in progress. With regard to the State Auditor's Office SDSI audit, all recommendations are now complete, and the final report is in the packet table.
Can I ask you a question there?
Yes.
So the second item under the SDSI was completed, it said, in April, and yet the report date is May. So they didn't give you credit for something that was completed? Did they review it, or?
It was included in their report that it was completed, but it was still a finding without response that we had completed it immediately. It was still in the report.
Okay, but they've acknowledged the fact that it was completed in their report.
Our response was that we've already completed it, but their finding still stood as it was.
Okay, so they'll still have to come back and verify that it was completed.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
Okay,
they
I've gotcha. All right. Okay. Discussion and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the agency's fiscal year end internal audit risk assessment and audit plan. Kimberly?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
I'm Kim Lopez Gonzalez with Garza Gonzalez and Associates, here today to present to you the fiscal year 2018 internal audit plan, which begins on page 11 in your packet. I know this is for the whole commission. We'll start with the DOB, but just to preface this, this year we did change our process a little bit, where we included the chair of the audit committee in our process. We do have questionnaires that we supply to the agencies to get their feedback on any new changes that have occurred at the agencies, any concerns, things like that for us to consider as part of our risk assessment. We did provide a questionnaire to the audit chair, and we did have a lot of communication, dialogue, correspondence during the whole process, so that she could have the background of where we're coming from when we're recommending these areas for audit. So just wanted to mention that to you, that she did play a significant role as part of the risk assessment process. On page 11, the internal audit plan begins. Page 13 of that report is our report to you, indicating that we did perform the risk assessment, and that the report that you have, the plan that you have before you, is our suggested plan. Of course, you as the members of the committee, as the Finance Commission, you do have the authority to change anything that you see fit. That goes for throughout the year also, because it is a plan. It can be amended as needed, as you feel fit to amend it if needed. Page 14 through 16 of the audit plan is the background on the methodology that we go through in performing the risk assessment for all three agencies. It is the same methodology that we use. Page 17 through 19 is the audit plan for the Texas Department of Banking. But what I like to do is flip to, which I think will give you a better picture of the whole risk assessment summary. If you could flip to page 25 of the audit plan, this is the Texas Department of Banking risk assessment summary for fiscal year 2018. So once we go through our process of the risk assessment, what we do is we prepare this risk assessment summary, where the 17 identified potential audit topics then will fall into either a high risk, a moderate risk, or low risk areas. As you can see here, 7 areas fall between the high risk areas, 5 are moderate risk areas, and 5 are low risk areas. The 7 high risk areas start with bank examinations, which, because of the nature of the entity, bank examinations, I think, is always probably going to be the highest risk. And then you'll have different ones that follow there between. The areas that we're recommending for audit for fiscal year 2018 is the prepaid funeral guarantee fund, which is item number 3, and the trust examinations area, which is area number 7. Now, you may be thinking, like, why are we not recommending areas of higher risk? As I indicated before, bank examinations is a pretty high risk area, which is because of the nature it's going to be a high risk, but that area seems to be audited regularly. And I believe the last time that area was audited was in another page that you can look at that might be helpful is page 28. This is the history of areas audited. This will show you how much coverage each area has received, not only from internal audits, but other entities as well. And bank examinations, actually, we just performed that audit in 2017, which was last year. So that is the reason why we wouldn't recommend that area for audit. One of the areas that we kind of thought about auditing was the payroll and human resources area, which falls as the second highest risk area in the risk assessment summary. And the reason that we're not recommending that one for audit is because the comptroller, DOB received indication that the comptroller was going to be performing an audit, which I believe is ongoing right now. So we thought, you know, if they're going to be performing it, that's probably not the best way to go for an internal audit. So then we moved down to the prepaid funeral guarantee fund, which is the one that we're going to be auditing. And the last one is the trust examinations. And the reason for recommending that one is because that area doesn't receive any other oversight than the internal audit, or has not received any other oversight than the internal audit. So that is the reason for recommending that. So those are the two areas that we're recommending for audit. In addition to that, our other tasks that we'll perform is following up on any outstanding internal audit findings that we may have from previous years, and also preparing the fiscal year 2018 annual report. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have on the DOB's risk assessment and audit plan at this time.
Any questions?
Could you take one on page 25? Let's take that prepaid funeral guarantee fund on line 3 and walk me across the columns.
Yes. So at the top of the page, you have risk factors, and there's 1 through 8, which starts with the materiality, which could be the quantitative materiality or the qualitative materiality. And we assign risk of either a 1, 2, or 3, with 3 being the highest risk. So if you take the prepaid funeral guarantee fund, the reason it would receive a 3 is because it's based on the quantitative materiality, and that means that the dollar value raises it to such a risk that it is assigned a rating of a 3. And the way you get that 30, that's maybe a little bit confusing, maybe you're not too sure where that comes from. If you look at the very top, the risk factor weight, so for risk factor number 1, materiality, it carries a weight of 10%. So if it's receiving a risk factor of 3, if you multiply that 3 times 10%, you get a 30. And that's where that comes from. So you would do that for each of those risk factors, and then you add up all those, the second column of each risk factor, like the 30, the 33, the 16, and so on and so forth. When you come back to the total there of that last column, it's 156, and that is the total of all those numbers.
Okay, so how do I know that under materiality that that is an 8?
That is a what?
Well, okay, you're saying that materiality, it's got a 30, that's 3 times 10%.
Yes, sir.
How do I know that that is a 10%, I guess is why.
Oh, it's 10% is the weight factor that we use.
So how do I know the weight factor?
It's right above it.
You mean the risk factor weight? It's at the very top of the page?
Okay, never mind. Well, again, I just don't. What tells me that prepaid funeral guaranteed fund is either 10% or was 10%?
This is us as a firm. We use the risk factor weights across the board. So 10% is the static number for each of these. That doesn't change. That is the formula that we use in performing our risk assessment as a firm.
Okay.
So are you asking whether or not why it's not a two factor?
Yeah. You know, she's saying it's an 8 factor, right?
An 8. I'm not
okay.
Eight.
So you got 10, 16 and a half, 16, 15 going across the top.
Yeah, but that's for each area. So in other words, if I'm reading it correct, so materiality has a 10% factor. Time since last audit, they've weighed it with 16 and a half. Audit review, 16. And then depending upon what number you get across the top. So like, for instance, if you look at bank examinations, time since last review, they only give it a 1, so it gets a 16 and a half. Whereas payroll, it's a 2, so that's where the 33 comes in, and that's how it goes across the top and comes down.
Okay.
It is confusing. When you brought it up, I was trying to figure it out also.
So those risk factor weights don't change for any of the identified audit topics. The only thing that will change is the risk factor of a 1, 2, or 3. And that is based on the formulas that we use as for performing the risk assessments for the state agencies.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, could you go to the next one?
Sure.
And we'll just approve them all in one.
The Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, their risk assessment summary is on page 26 of the audit plan. And as you can see here on page 26, there are 14 areas. 3 of them fall in the high risk category, 4 in the moderate risk, and 7 in the low risk. And here we are recommending that the risk supervision and compliance area be audited as part of the 2018 internal audit plan, which is the area of the highest risk. That area, the last time it was audited was in 2013. So it's been 5 years since that area has been audited. So we are recommending that area for audit. In addition to that, we will also follow up on any outstanding findings from previous years from those internal audit reports that we performed, and also prepare the annual report for fiscal year 2018.
Any questions on savings and mortgage lending audit plan?
And there is also a history of areas audited for the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending that is found on page 29 of the report, in case you wanted to look at the coverage that all those areas have received since 2008. There's a 10-year history there.
Kim and Molly, the one question I have is, and I see that mortgage licensing and registration is a low risk, and I understand that. It's the last time it was audited, and it's only by your firm, it appears. The last time it was audited was about when the new system was put into place, and I'm just wondering if we should at some point consider auditing that area just to make sure the systems and the electronics and everything about the licensing is in place, because it is such a high number of licenses that go through that system. And there's also a lot of penalties and different things associated with that system that would be interesting to just dig down into it a bit. I know as a commission a few years ago, we cut back the number of audits for savings and loan to one. I don't know that we can't go to two a year. I think that's something that we could look at, or, you know, if the commission's happy with it or the audit committee, we could wait till next year. But for some reason, that area draws my attention.
Yes. Ms. Carl, would you like to? I know we had that communication.
So the question, I think, is, do we add that?
Do we add it for this year?
For this year.
Yep. You know, that's your preference, it could be added. I know that a question was asked of us if, you know, because of the number of fines that is assessed, but they're not really the area that assesses the fines. I believe that's the legal and enforcement area that assesses the fines. So there are three areas that we know of.
Okay.
Based on our understanding, there is the mortgage examinations, consumer mm-hmm. protection, and the mortgage licensing and registration areas that do come up with, I guess that can make recommendations to the legal enforcement for them to look into the, I guess, cases that yeah. they would follow mm-hmm. up on. And then based on their review, then they would assess the fines. Because I think that was a concern maybe coming
yes,
from you.
Yes, it was.
So the assessment. So it's not truly that area would be the only area to, mm-hmm. to even, they wouldn't even be the ones to assess it. Now they could recommend to the legal enforcement
yeah.
To look into cases, and then legal enforcement would be the ones to assess. So if that was the concern, I had indicated to Commissioner Curl that, you know, it touches various areas. It's not just one area of one potential mm-hmm. audit topic that has been identified for audit that would cover that concern. If at the request of the audit committee, the finance commission members, what we could do, it doesn't necessarily have to be an audit of the potential mm-hmm. audit topic. As internal auditors, we could perform what we would identify as another task, where we could look into perhaps, you know, how are the fines assessed and how are they collected.
I think, I didn't quite understand where you were coming from until just now, but I think what I'm hearing is that it's a new system.
It yeah, that's,
and has anybody tested the controls around the new system?
The new system.
Right. Yeah.
May I interject on this? Because the system is not ours. The system is a national system, so they're not going to have much ability to do anything.
Yes, which is what I was about to go there too. So
okay.
From the standpoint of the system, the system's been there since
08. Well, it's
going
through
a
major redevelopment
too. Yeah, and that was going to be my next statement. It's about to be overhauled
well,
and changed.
Never mind.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a process of redeveloping the whole thing for implementation, hopefully in the fall of next year.
And it's the same system that, you know, Department of Banking uses
yes.
or OCCC uses for whatever licensee population they have that goes through there.
Right.
But it will be changed next year. And I was going to ask, do they perform audits?
Yes.
Okay, which is what I thought. So given that it's a federal system, we enter data into
it's
and they
federal.
Are auditing it.
It's not federal.
It's
not.
Sorry, national.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, good discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. That helps me understand
the
whole vastness
yeah.
of the process.
When Commissioner Curl sent me that, I had to apologize to her, too, for giving her a long-winded response before I gave her my response.
No. I think it's very helpful for me because I didn't realize how many areas it gets touched along the way,
it does, yeah,
and that we don't really control the system. We just control our input into the system.
Yeah, and I didn't understand also
yeah.
that was
yeah.
the
okay.
concern.
That was
system.
One of my
yeah.
concerns, yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, any other questions regarding that? Okay, How about OCCC?
Yes, OCCC's risk assessment summary is right behind the SMLs, which is on page 27. With OCCC, they have 19 potential audit topics. There was a new audit topic identified during the fiscal year 2018 risk assessment, and that is area number 3. We did not have this legal and enforcement area as a potential audit topic before, so this was added this year, in 2018. Commissioner Pettyjohn did think that that was something of significance, and when we looked into it, we thought, yeah, it probably should be included as an area. Based on our risk assessment, we are recommending the property tax lender examinations area for audit. Now, that is area number 4. And the reasoning that we go to that area for audit is because that area was established as a audit topic in fiscal year 2012, and it has not been audited by not only us, but any other agency. So we thought that that would be an area to look at for fiscal year 2018. Once we look at that, all areas, with the exception of that new legal and enforcement, will have been looked at within the 10 years. That you, if you look at that 10-year history on page 30 for OCCC, you will see that the property tax lenders was the area that had not been covered as in an audit or a review within in any of those 10 years. So that is the area being recommended for audit. In addition to that, as with the other two agencies, we'll also perform a follow-up on outstanding findings from previous years and perform the annual or prepare the annual 2018 audit report.
Any comments or questions on that?
I would just interject that the state auditor's office looked quite a bit at legal and enforcement, so that had a recent review.
Yes, and we do, if you look at the history, we do have that identified as a...
And the property tax lender examinations, you know, there's it's a similar process, so while it hadn't specifically been looked at, the process itself through some of the other examination areas has been looked at. We haven't, it hasn't specifically been looked at as a unique component unit.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, and with that, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's fiscal year 2018 internal auditor's risk assessment and audit plan?
So moved.
Lori, second?
Second.
Okay, Vince, any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. Okay, next we have the report on activities related to the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Page 37 is a really brief written report. We really don't have much to add in addition to that. Just summarizing, in October, we've been doing some orientation and education with the new grantees before they start their cycle January 1st. And the other thing I just wanted to mention and bookmark for the audit committee is that in February, as has been our practice, we have invited Paul Ballard with the Texas Treasury Safekeeping Trust Company to come give a presentation. As the commission will recall, they are the investment manager for the endowment fund, and they also manage, you know, the whole about a dozen or so endowment funds for the state of Texas that are significantly larger. We're just at like a less than 1% piece of what they manage, but we're very grateful that Paul Ballard is able to accommodate in his schedule to come visit with the Finance Commission and give them some insight on that investment strategy and what's going on with those. So we'll look forward to that in February.
Okay. That'll be during the course of regular meeting.
Regular audit committee meeting. Yeah.
Any other comments? Anything to bring? Okay. There will be no further business. This meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned. The time is 8:26 a.m.